Well, with special music and Advent and Christmas decorations, I wonder what season this is. It must be Christmas. And Christmas for us as a congregation is not only a time to be a part of what is going on in the world around us, but also the opportunity to prepare our hearts from the Word of God for the celebration of Jesus' birth. And all that that means in terms of us as a church on mission in a world that needs to see and worship our King who came some 2,000 years ago. And so Christmas is not only a busy time of decorations, a wonderful time of Advent and special music and shopping and all of the things that come with it, but for us who know Jesus, it's an incredible opportunity. An opportunity to serve, an opportunity to share, and an opportunity again to reflect on our story being a part of His story. To reflect that God chooses broken, hurting people to accomplish His plan in salvation history. Not only 2,000 years ago, but even today. And to rejoice that God chooses to use people like Mary, a teenage girl who got pregnant out of wedlock, not that she sinned to do that, but rather in God's grace and in God's power, she was a precious tool of His to accomplish His mission, to be a part of His redemptive plan. And I want to be like Mary, willing to respond in obedience to a crisis that must have been overwhelming, seeing who God is and delighting in Him in such a way that my obedience is just an overflow of who I am, and really, maybe even more importantly, whose I am. The Christmas story is a story of redemption. It's the story we still tell, the story of Jesus who came, the God-man, to live a perfect life, to die in our place, to rise again, and then to call us to be on mission for Him. And during our Advent season, we've been looking at the people of Christmas, and we started with Mary and delighted in God's use of this precious girl. Now, this morning, if you have your Bibles, if you could open them with me to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, we are going to discover the story of another frail yet godly human being, one who the Bible defines as righteous and then displays to us why he is defined that way. Joseph is often the forgotten man of Christmas. Often we will hear of Mary and the wise men and the shepherds and the angels and even sometimes Herod and the wicked rulers of the church of that era, the temple. But very rarely do we talk about this amazing, quiet, righteous man. And this morning, because the Bible talks about him in the story that we are celebrating, we also want to find out his role, how he played that role in the greater story that was going on, and then to reflect on that so that we too will understand our role in the greater redemptive story and then choose to play that role as people of righteousness, as men and women and children who have integrity, who have righteousness. So let's read chapter 1. I'm going to pick it up in verse 18 and read to verse 25, and then we'll slow down and work through it again, seeking to understand and to allow the Word of God to be something we experience and then apply. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man, a righteous man, and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. I love, and we'll get into this, the description of his being righteous or being just is so tender, so compassionate, as it always is with those who have righteousness that comes from God. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet in Isaiah 7. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, or God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, as he did, the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Why does the Bible have this part of the story in the greater story? Why are we introduced to a man who doesn't say any words, at least in biblical text, who was really only a stepdad to Jesus, had no part in his conception? Why does the Bible introduce us to this man? And I think significantly it's because of the role he plays in Jesus' life. It's because of his righteousness, but it's also written to give us hope and to see where we also are a part of the story within the story of what God is doing in our generation, in our world. And so really it's an encouragement to us that God uses quiet, righteous people to do incredible things in his story. The first thing I want us to note in the life of Joseph, it's in verse 18, is what I've just called the crisis, or shattered in God's plan. Now, I want us again this morning, if we can, and it's difficult because this story is so comfortable to us, to try to place ourselves in Joseph's shoes, sandals, as it were, and try to feel what he feels. Now, we know the rest of the story. We've walked with Mary and the angel, and we've seen this incredible miracle of, well, what is coming, a virgin birth, and in that we have delighted, but we want to understand this in the chronology that it's given, and so we want to feel with this incredible man. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Now, we, with the narrator, get to hear a little bit more, but understand what Joseph heard. For them, this understanding of betrothal or engagement is different than ours. It would have been an opportunity to get to know her, an opportunity to prove to one another their commitment. It is almost as strong a commitment, if not as strong a commitment, as being married. They belong to one another. Their future was tied together. Here was the girl that God had planned for him to have, to live his life, to serve together, the woman whom God had given to him, and then she is discovered to be pregnant, and he knows what he hasn't done, and so in brokenness assumes what she has. Wrongly, but from a worldly perspective, without full understanding of the revelation of God, rightly. His world, if you can imagine with him, is shattered. He's not very wealthy, but he's been saving his shekels. He's been longing to provide for her and do what God has called him to do, to have a family with this woman who has been arranged for him. He's dreaming of his future life and planning and seeking to create for her and him and their children a God-honoring life, and everything falls apart. Feel his confusion, his betrayal, his pain. Someone he was growing to love, even more importantly in their culture, someone he was committed to living his life with, had done something worthy of death, worthy of shame, worthy of him feeling shame as well as the one betrayed. And the Bible tells us that life is under the sovereign plan of God. In fact, it tells us in Ephesians 1:11 that he works out everything according to his purpose, every detail of life. But sometimes in the midst of that explosion that shatters our hearts, we have trouble understanding and experiencing that. And Joseph leads the way in that. He can't understand this. Well, he can't understand what is really going on. He does understand the situation, and his life is shattered. From the Old Testament, and we would know it even more strongly from the New, he knows that God is sovereign, he knows that God is good, and he knows that God is in control. And if he would read with us Romans 8:28 to 38, he would know that nothing can separate us from the love of God, and that all things are planned for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. And yet, in the midst of that brokenness, what he must have felt. And by the way, Old Testament and New Testament, this is not a minor theme. We see that God uses broken people and brokenness, and sometimes we don't understand His plan. In fact, if we weren't able to see Him clearly, we would only see despair. Think of Joseph, whom Joseph had been named for, whose brothers were going to kill him, and then to make a little money on his demise, decided instead to sell him into slavery. And when he finally starts to move up the slave pecking order, is falsely accused and then thrown into jail, and starts to move up the jail pecking order and then forgotten completely. And yet all along, the plan of God to save his people was at work. And you think of every moment as his life is shattered further and further, and he's moving further and further away from what he believed from the revelation of God in a dream to be the plan of God. How much hopelessness he could have felt. Or Job, we actually get to walk with him through his pain. We see right away in chapter 1, 21 and 22, and then chapter 2, verse 10, that God is sovereign over what is going on, but what is going on is so shattering. It's overwhelming in pain as he loses his children and his wealth and his health, and everything falls apart. He's only left with a nagging wife, everything else broken. And yet God had a plan. Or Isaiah chapter 6, as he sees the greatness of the holiness of God and he cries out, woe is me, or cursed am I. I am undone. I am falling apart. My molecules can hardly stay together. I've seen the Lord and I am unclean, and I live among people who are unclean. And God says, well, I got a plan for you. I want you to go share my word with people who won't listen and who will ignore and won't apply and will disrespect you. And we know from the history of Israel, even kill you. He was, history tells us, placed in a tree that was then sawn in two with him inside. God's plan sometimes includes brokenness. God's plans for God's people, and you might know this personally from your own life, or if not from your own life, you will know this at some time if you are fully devoted to Him, if your heart is united to serve Him, that God's plans sometimes include a crisis and a shattering of who we are. Joseph, betrayed by the one he most loved, or at the very least was most committed to, the one his life was to be lived with, shattered. Secondly, I want us to note his character. I've just called it the character, shaped by God's person. And we'll read verse 18 again, but then verse 19, I want us to notice what kind of man experiences this kind of deep emotional pain in terms of his response. And again, I want us to walk with him, not only so that we can feel what he feels and see what he sees, but also so that we can apply that to our lives when our lives are shattered and when we're in the sovereign plan of God, but we can't see where he is taking us. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be a child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, I love how this describes him, being a just man or a righteous man, some translations, and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Here is his character on display. Here is the man shining through in the brokenness of life. Here is who he is. And what does it mean to be just or righteous? It means he's someone who wants to keep God's word at any expense to himself. That's what it means to be righteous, to be one who says, God, I want to follow you. God, I want to know you. And when I know you and see your revelation, being righteous means, in this context, in the context that we as Christians would use it, or just the ESV uses, that means I'm someone who hears the word of God and applies it. I'm someone who obeys him and seeks him. Oh, not perfection, but pursuit. When I see the word, I choose to obey. And this righteousness in Joseph produced two incredible problems. The first is that she had sinned against him and God, or at least, again, remember, chronologically, that is his perspective. I mean, we know better. This was not a sin. This was the Savior. This was not her problem in terms of what she had done. This was God's plan in terms of what he was going to do. But Joseph did not know that yet. And the Bible describes him as a man who in his justice is saying, I want to obey God, and I don't want to be around those who choose to disobey in this kind of radical manner. And he had it in his right as a just man to shame her, to put her to death, to remove her, to display her publicly for who she was, an adulterer. Well, not who she was, but who he perceived her to be, and in his defense, who everyone else would soon perceive her to be. His righteousness said, I want to keep the word, but I want us to notice this as well. His righteousness also, in keeping the word, had a tenderness to it. Let me just say this as a slight aside. When we use the word righteousness in our culture, we tend to think of those who have a hard line of holiness. I will not bend of what the Bible teaches, and that is a part of righteousness. But true righteousness that comes from God also has a very soft, tender compassion, a willingness to follow Jesus, the righteous one who is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love. In this case, his justice displayed for us in his actions not only takes a strong stand on the word of God, the holiness of God, what God desired, but also on the tenderness of God. Don't ever confuse harshness with righteousness. They don't go together. In fact, those who are truly biblically righteous are those who most willingly sacrifice of their own rights for revenge with compassion. So here's Joseph with the right for revenge. Here's Joseph who chooses instead, in the midst of his intense pain, to also care about Mary, the one whom he thought had offended him. And so he decides to quietly send her away and allow her to have her baby and not expose her to public disgrace or perhaps even worse. I love that word, unwilling to shame her. Again, we know the story. He didn't yet. Feel with him as he weeps for his own loss, but also as he grieves her shame. The one perceived to be offended against, taking care of the one who had offended, at least from his perspective. This is the kind of man I want to be. Righteous, will not bend the word of God. Righteous, willing to self-sacrificially love those who have offended you, because you have a right relationship with God, and God displays his righteousness most clearly in Jesus. His stepson, if he will believe that, which we know he will. Joseph's an amazing man of character. And so in his pain, he resolves to divorce her quietly, to write her a certificate of divorce, to remove her from the opportunity for shame, but also to show and display to others that his holiness is intact. He is not the father. He is not the one who has sinned. He is not the one who caused Mary to be like this. And so tenderly remove her, tenderly display that he is obedient, and do it in such a way that he believes he is following God. He is doing what is just. He is doing what is right. He is with compassion carrying through on what God plan. So we've noticed the crisis shattered in God's plan, the character shaped by God's person. Thirdly, the choice selected for God's purpose. And really, this is where we've been trying to go with these messages. What has God got in mind for us? Not only for Joseph, but then how can we see from his story within the story, our story within God's redemptive plan today? How can we not only rejoice that God chooses to use quiet men of integrity, but then to say, well, God, here am I, not much, but please send me. Here am I, a cracked pot, a vessel that needs your treasure inside of me to display to others. What is your plan for me? Verses 20 to 25, this is where the revelation from God, we find it in his word. His word then displays to us what God desires. For Joseph, it was slightly different. Verse 20, but as he considered these things, behold, By the way, consider, you gave careful thought to them. How can I honor God in these things, this quiet man of Christmas? Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine the relief in him? The shock? The joy? Joseph, Mary didn't betray you. Joseph, you were right not to take vengeance upon her for that betrayal. Joseph, God is at work and God has a plan. And Joseph, you're a part of that plan. Oh, it's overwhelming. Verse 21, she will bear a son and you shall call his name. You shall call his name. What does that mean? Joseph, I want you to be the Messiah's stepdad. Joseph, I have a plan for you to be a part of the Messiah's upbringing. Joseph, teach him to be a carpenter. Joseph, I am entrusting to you my plan of salvation. This is overwhelming. Listen again. Try to put yourself in this quiet man of integrity, this simple carpenter who loves God. Try to put yourself in his place. She will bear a son, and you, in other words, you have a responsibility here, Joseph. You shall call his name Yeshua, Yahweh saves, for he will save his people from their sins. This is the Messiah. This is the God-man. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name. Now this is breathtaking. Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. Joseph, God has a plan for you that's so overwhelmingly profound that he wants you to be a part of his eternal plan to send his son, Almighty God the Son, to become fully God, fully human. Well, not become fully God, but become the one who is fully God and fully man. And in that to become the one who saves his people from their sins. And Joseph, you are a part of this plan. When Joseph awoke from his sleep, when Joseph heard from the revelation of God for us, when we hear from his word, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and they called his name Jesus, and he obeyed, and he understood his place in the salvation history. A place that is amazing. What an honor. What an overwhelming privilege to see as God bursts through his shattered pain with a plan, and the plan includes the pain to accomplish the purpose, and he gets to be a part of that. Wow. And it's tied to this plan from eternity past, Isaiah 7. In fact, the Spirit of God had been revealing this to the people of God for years and years. And now, Joseph, you have been picked in space-time history to serve me, to be a part of this. You have been picked in space-time history at this time for such a moment as this to be a part of what I'm doing. Joseph, are you willing? And Joseph responds. And I can't imagine not only the relief, but the overwhelming privilege he must have felt. Well, how is this plan going to take place? And if you go on, Isaiah 53, 1 to 6, we find out that the way he will save his people from their sins is incredibly painful. Who has believed what he has heard from us? This is Isaiah 53:1-6. And to whom the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant or like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Here's the gospel message from Isaiah. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted, bearing the wrath of God upon God the Son. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. And we, like sheep, have gone astray and have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Joseph, you get to be a part of this plan. Emmanuel, God with us. Messiah, the one who died in our place. And Joseph, in the midst of your grief, in the midst of your shattered life, in the midst of your quiet integrity, Joseph, you have a part of this. Wow. And he heard and obeyed and responded to a life of incredible difficulty. And I don't mean raising a perfect child. I have done that. Well, maybe not. Maybe for sure not. But he had to go to Egypt to flee. He had very little money. We think, as we follow his life, that he died younger than Mary. That in the midst of all that went on in Jesus' life, he must have watched, knowing what we find from Mary. She treasured up these things in her heart. What did Joseph do? We don't know, but what we do know is he obeyed. He responded. He chose to be a part of God's plan. So how does that impact us? As we look at the crisis shattered in God's plan, the character shaped by God's person, the choice selected for God's purpose. Now you might turn to me and say, okay, so what? None of us are going to be asked to marry a virgin who's going to give birth to the Messiah, right? Say right. That's only going to happen once. It's only happened once. But all of us, and this is profound, and I need our hearts to hear this, because so often we forget, all of us have a story from him if we belong to him, and that story includes being a part of his eternal redemptive plan. Do you see it? See, your life might be shattered right now, and you might be crying out to God and saying, God, would you relieve me from my pain? Or I don't know what you're going through. But I know this, if you belong to him, he has chosen you to be a part of his plan to bring others to know him and to save them from eternal hell and to bring them into his eternal presence in heaven. And you and I get to be a part of that. And this is as breathtaking. Please hear this. And I know Joseph had a special part of the plan of God, but this is as breathtaking as that, because we now get to be a part of representing God as his ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Be reconciled to God. God has chosen broken, quiet or loud, or men, women, youth, children, to be a part of what he's doing. He didn't need to do that, but he has done that in love for us. And so if you know him, here's how I would like you to apply this as I try to do that in my own life and in my own ministry. In brokenness, first of all, in brokenness, find hope. Maybe right now you're feeling shattered. You're confused. People have hurt you. You don't understand why a loving God would allow this. And I'm not sure you'll ever understand as Joseph did until you get to glory, but I do know this, if you belong to him, then the same words from the Old Testament Joseph knew, and even more profoundly words we now know in the New Testament, are also true, that God has a plan. And even our brokenness is a part of that plan. Romans 8, 28 and 29 are so rich if we'll go deep and drink in the sovereignty of God and cling to it. And so out of that, listen or watch for God's plan for you. Listen to his word and watch around you what's going on. Maybe you're not broken. God still has a plan for you. But watch for it. Look for it. Look for the opportunity where he has placed you. We've been quoting Ephesians 2:10, and it's one of my favorite verses, so you hear it a lot. But in Ephesians 2:10, we find out in the context of the gospel, in the context of by grace you are saved through faith, not by works, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. What is that displaying? It's saying, Rob, or you put your name in there. I have a plan for you. I planned it from eternity past, and it includes you to be my representative. To love others who need to be loved, to to live in such a way that your life will display the gospel, to be on mission in a world. And you can see those people in the Bible, and we can see those people today. And God's plan is for you and I to be those people, to be Josephs and Marys. Our story is so small, so insignificant in light of the whole story, but we're a part of the whole story. We're a part of the eternal redemptive plan of God. Do you realize that? It is amazing. It's overwhelming. We could talk about Ruth or Rahab or Joseph or Job or Esther or Mary or Joseph. And I think when we get to glory and we see the righteous response of the broken people of God in his plan, that our names, I mean, this is incredible, will be included with theirs. As we see, God has chosen to use people to accomplish his plan for his glory. So thirdly, we need to choose to be a part of that. We need to make the choices like Joseph did so that our lives are used by him for his glory in this willing obedience. As for me and my house, I will follow you. I will choose to be a part of your plan. Or if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily. It's a choice. Deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. And it's an opportunity for us to say, Lord, would you open my eyes? Lord, I'm willing to follow. Lord, wherever you take me, I want to be on mission for you. I want to notice my neighbors and my friends and my workmates and my classmates. I want to notice who you put me around, because maybe, just maybe, you have chosen me to be the one that shines the light of the gospel to them so that they can know you and be saved from an eternity in hell and saved to an eternity in heaven and right relationship with Jesus. Maybe you have placed me here because there's someone, even this morning in this place, broken and in despair and not wanting to go on. And maybe you've placed me here so I can give them a hug or write them a note or express the love of Jesus to them so that they can carry on and be strengthened. Maybe you've placed me here for such a time as this. And I would remove the maybe, because the Bible says it's true. Joseph is amazing, because his God is amazing. His God had a plan for him. Brothers and sisters, I long for us to hear this message. Not just the story within a story. Not just that this is about Jesus and Joseph's part in that, which is overwhelming. But all of history is about Jesus. And we have a part, if we are his, to play in that. So if this morning you're broken, or you don't understand why you've had to go through what you've had to go through, or you're just wondering if life has any meaning at all, then look at the story within the story and recognize your story within the story and find hope and joy and purpose and passion. We serve an awesome God who would not only send his son to live a perfect life and to die in our place and to rise again, but then would call us to be a part of living for him and sharing this good news with everyone we have the opportunity to do that with. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for the privilege of being a part of your plan, and we recognize Joseph's privilege, and we thank you then in the midst of his shattered life, he was righteous. He knew you. He chose the tender, right thing. And then when he heard from you, he carried on a difficult path in obedience to you, for your honor and glory is a part of your plan. Father, we praise you for a man like Joseph, and we ask that we would be like him as men and women and teens and children. That God, you'd bring relief for us by understanding your sovereignty. That you would help us in the midst of that to recognize your purpose for our lives and to respond. God, on behalf of your people here, I praise you and thank you and offer our lives to you as a church, as a part of the story within a story. for your glory. In Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.